So more and more these days, you hear people saying that we're living in a godless age. It's a godless society. It's gone to the dogs. It's falling apart. It's all you ever hear these days, particularly probably from us priests. But it's true. I mean, you look at the statistics. There was a thing in the paper recently of belief in Australia and comparing it to the census results for the last 20 years or so. And every year it's gone down. You know, we are becoming a more and more godless society. Even within the church. When you look at the statistics they do about what Christians believe, and sadly, more and more Christians don't actually believe in Christianity. You know, we have a vague sense of spirituality, but really, we don't necessarily really believe in God. Now, it's an interesting sort of question because we kind of take this a bit further. It says in Scripture that God is love. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas even said that wherever you see truth and love, you have seen God. So we'd have to kind of make the conclusion, if we're a godless society, it probably means because we're a loveless society. You know, there'd have to be a correlation between these two things. And if, as Christians, we are struggling in belief, it's quite likely because as Christians we're struggling in love. Now, the more and more I see of the church, anywhere I go and I talk to any Christian communities and talk to people, this is what I hear. You know, Christians, I think, of all people, struggle the most with love. You know, your average run-of-the-mill pagan, I think their life's quite easy. You know, they kind of are quite happy living a selfish life. They call it for what it is. And they're quite happy to say, you know, yeah, I'm happy to use you. You know, there's no real pretense at all. But I think often for us as Christians, we end up living an absolute lie because we try so hard to be good Christians. And we know that we're meant to be nice and loving, and yet it's an absolute sham. Yeah, so often it's so superficial. You know, and I've seen this so often in my own life. I'm speaking, preaching to myself as always first here. You know, because we try and love, we try and help people, and yet that love is so corrupted. You know, it's so filled with my own pride and my own vanity. You know, some hypothetical example, you know, if I was to try and be a good Christian and go and serve someone who is sick, be good, take meals to them when they're in their sick bed. Yes, I am doing a nice loving action, but I'm also feeding my own spiritual vanity. How good am I? Look at me, I'm fantastic. If everyone else can see what I'm doing, it's great. And this person really should be grateful for what I'm doing, you know. They should see how great I am as well. You know, so as long as they are thankful and as long as they, every time I drop a meal to their place, they say, oh, you're so nice. It just kind of feeds that need that I have. I'm not really loving them at all. I'm trying to feed a hunger in my own heart. I'm trying to feed my own need for security and for love. If one day I turn up to this person's house with a nice bowl of soup and they take the food off me and immediately throw a shoe at me and say, get out. Leave the food, but you go. My natural reaction is going to be, well, that's the last time you get anything from me, buddy. Nice knowing you. And that's not love. That's pure selfishness. Now, St. Catherine of Siena spoke about three types of Christians. Three types of response that we have, where the first person responds to God out of fear, out of a fear of hell. The second person, she says, is the most common, which she refers to as being mercenary Christianity, is the term she used. You know what a mercenary is? Like a paid soldier, someone who fights because they don't really care, they just want the money. And she says, this is the way we relate with other people and the way we relate with God. I'm in this as long as I get paid. As long as you thank me, and you're grateful and it feeds my need, my vanity, then I'll do anything you ask for. But as soon as the payment dries up, I'm gone. I'll go to the highest bidder. And she says we do the same thing with people as we do with God. We're in our own prayer. If prayer is nice and sweet and light and full of consolation, and the payment is there, I will give everything to God. Every moment, I'll spend all night prayer vigils, I'll fast, I'll do everything. But if God doesn't give me anything, then I'm going to go elsewhere. She says, that's not love. It's pure selfishness. The pure love, the third person, which she says is the rarest, is the one who loves no matter what. No matter what they get in return, even if you are spat upon and insulted, you still give. Because you're not in this for yourself. And that's what love is about. Love is not about self at all. It's completely about the other. It's completely about being given. Now, the reason why, as Christians, this is so foreign to us is because we have never experienced love. And this is probably the saddest point of all. That as Christians, we have never really opened our hearts to being loved. Yes, we know that God is love. Yes, we know that He died for us on the cross. But we've never actually stopped to let that truth sink in. Because we don't think we need it. We're so full of pride. You know, once again, I'm speaking of my own self here. You know, I spent most of my life completely self-sufficient, the strong one, thinking, yeah, I'm helping God out. You know, He should be grateful that He's got me. I don't really need Him. You know, yeah, it's nice that He loves me, but really. But that's what goes on in our hearts. And yet what we experience here in the Eucharist is the thing that is meant to transform us. Because here, if we actually open our eyes to see how we are loved, this is the place where the wounds are healed. This is the place where our insecurity is destroyed. Where we go through life feeling so inadequate and so vulnerable and so rejected because we're not looking at how He is loving us. Because if you look at what happens here on this altar, this is the Passover. This is the death and resurrection of Christ made present to us sacramentally. When you come here to the Eucharist, you come to Calvary. You are there. Because God is outside time and space and He can break the rules. We are there. We are there present at the resurrection. And if we actually open our eyes to what is happening here, to see this story played out, because what has God given me? He's given me life. He's given me creation, everything. The whole world has been given into my hands. What have I given Him in return? I've spat upon Him. I've rejected Him. I've unleashed all the violence and anger of my heart. I've nailed Him to a cross. I've killed Him. And then what does He do? He gives Himself to me. He comes here every day and says, I continue to give. I continue to put myself in your hands. I continue to pour myself out for you. This is love. If we actually understand what we have done to Him and what He has done to us, that I've done that. Yeah, we all need to pray for the grace to realize that we have done that. We have nailed Him to the cross. This is the reality of my life. But when I look at the Eucharist, I see His response. If God was to love me the way that I love most other people, there would be no hope. You know, we're so often the slightest insult against us and we just turn our backs and walk away, never to talk to the person again. And yet here Jesus continues to give. This is love. This is sacrifice. Christ empties himself for us. And this is the love that is meant to transform us. That when we are aware of this love, when we immerse ourselves, soak ourselves in this until it soaks into our very core of our being, that we would become this love. It would take over us. It would heal our rejection. It would heal our fear, our sense of inadequacy, our insecurities. There is no reason for them to be in our life if I have been loved this much. This beautiful line in the first reading, where it says, "The Lord comes to my help, so I am untouched by the insults." How many of us can say that? How many of us are insulted by people and are untouched? Yes, we put on a brave face. We might smile and say, "God bless you," but we spend the rest of the day swearing and muttering under our breath. Or we go and unleash our anger on the next poor victim who comes past our path. You know, our hearts are so wounded, so shriveled up and loveless. And yet all the time we have in our midst the very sacrament of love. You know, some years ago, Pope Benedict wrote the whole church a letter called The Sacrament of Love about the Eucharist, trying to make us realize what God has done. This is not just a ritual. This is not just a thing we go through the motions. It's meant to be an encounter that changes us. It's meant to be an encounter that brings love into the places where there is no love. The very fact that Christ comes to us as bread so that he can enter into us. He doesn't just come and embrace us on the surface. He comes into the very depths of who we are. There is nothing else on earth that comes this close. Because Christ is saying, "I want to love you where it hurts. I want to love you where you have not been loved." Wake up to the reality. Realize that this is real. If only we could actually see what he is doing in our midst, then we would actually become Christians. We would actually become images of Christ in the world. We would stop trying to make all the excuses that every Christian makes of like, "Oh, I'm not holy, I'm not nothing, go and talk to someone else because I'm useless." We would find no reason for that if we actually realized how close he comes to us and how passionately he loves us. If for just a moment we would let down our pride and our vanity and realize that we need this, to realize that we need a Savior because we cannot do this ourselves, that I actually need Jesus to come into me because without him, I'm useless. At this place, Christ comes. And he comes for you personally. All he simply desires is that we would come and encounter him. Allow ourselves to be encountered by him. To come here realizing that we have barely begun the journey. So let's come. As we prepare to come to the Eucharist, gaze upon the cross. Look at the reality of what we have done. And the more we become in touch with our sin and the horror of our sin, the more we will rejoice in his mercy and the beauty of this gift which is given to us. That despite all the hatred we have unleashed upon him, we are accepted and we are loved. Let that reality change you. Let that reality win you and bring you into this relationship of intimate love.